There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to Motherhood, A Beautiful Nightmare.
The podcast for the mother who is flying by the seat of her Wonder Woman jocks.
Yeah, right, like me. This is hosted by Chanel Franklin and Tamara Linky.
It is indeed, and we are heading up this episode. It's a juicy one. Birth.
I mean, if you've given birth, you're going to want to hear it.
So, y'all want to talk about mama?
Hit it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wait. Okay, now, from the beginning.
Motherhood, A Beautiful Nightmare.
Just a little practice test. Let's see what your wavelengths look like.
Hey, how are ya?
Oh, it looks like one of G'day. Those monitors where you go get an ultrasound. Hit me with your best shot.
Fire away.
I love your little at the end that comes out.
I'm not a very good singer.
No, I like
you
it.
You are. Sing.
Fire away.
Yes. See? Boom.
Fire away. That was good.
No.
Okay, lady, how was your weekend?
Well, it kind of threw a bit of a curveball. So I spent my Saturday in a place that many mothers have spent hours of excruciating pain.
Getting a pap smear?
No.
With a bad GP?
More meaning emotional and psychological pain.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than pap smear. So I was at the emergency department.
Why?
Well, nothing major except my son shoved a bead up his nose.
Oh, one of those.
One of those.
At what point did you decide that you would go to the hospital? Like, I've always wondered because it hasn't happened to me yet.
Well, Dan kind of freaked out. So I've made them some lunch. I literally walked around the corner bringing Ollie his food and he's standing there looking all weird with his finger up his nose. Oh. I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, kids love to stick their finger up their nose, but this was I've just done something and I don't quite know what I've done. So I've gone, what have you done, you silly sausage? Come to mummy, come here. And I thought that he had a boogie. So I went, oh, here's a boogie. And I squished his nose thinking I was going to pull a boogie out, but I didn't. And he screamed and I went, oh, darling, so sorry. Had a quick look up there. Is a really shiny silver ball up his
silver.
Nose. Silver.
How high up?
Quite high.
Shivers.
Yep. So I've just said, Summer, just you eat your lunch. That's fine. Went outside. Dan was using power tools. And I didn't want to shout and scare him because then we'd be at another hospital for him.
Yep.
So I've gone, Dan. And he's gone, oh, in a minute. I went, right now, come right over here immediately like this. And he's going, what are you doing? What are you speaking like that for? I've gone, he just shoved a bead up his nose. He goes, oh, my God, let me see. Oh, my God, no, I can't. And he freaked out. He freaked out. So then I freaked out.
Okay, and I would freak out too.
And then we were kind of like, can he breathe? Dan's like, give him his dummy. Don't give him his dummy. Then he can't breathe. First time it's happened to me. So I'm quite freaking out.
This is new, yeah.
The man's stopped me at the door and he's gone, have you been anywhere? Have you been in touch with, you know, COVID
like, no,
stuff?
No, I'm like, no.
Get the fuck out of the way. I need to go get this bead out. That yeah, I'm fine. I haven't got COVID.
Do they do that to dying people? Like they're bleeding from a stab wound. It's like, hey, what? Like, have you been anywhere? Can you sign this form? And have you come in contact with anyone with COVID? Just get me in the fucking hospital.
Well, the man obviously seen the distress on my face and shouted, all the best. Good luck. Oh, yeah. As I went running
down
the hallway.
Don't forget to sanitize.
Like, what?
Yeah.
So I get in there, was met with hand sanitizer again, and this nurse was one finger typing, and she said, one moment, please. I thought, one moment. Okay, don't annoy her because she'll put you at the back of the list.
My kid's close to death, to bee death.
you need death finger. By bead. So please. I swear to God, I was going to, if there wasn't a petition there to stop myself getting anywhere closer to her, I was going to wring her neck and go, can you just help me? I'm freaking out. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the fact that I squished it against the side, the wall of his nose, whether I've done damage. I'm freaking out. Anyway, so I have told her, she's gone, oh, a bead. Did you bring another one in so we can see it? I went, no.
I didn't think of bringing the whole packet.
I said, well, if you just look up his nose, you'll see exactly what it looks like. You can say, oh, you can sit. Can you? Oh, okay. Go sit down. Anyway, go sit down. Dan's kind of rushed in. Like, you know, he's almost like he's been dragged through a bush backwards. He's still got sawdust on him, freaking out. He's got summer under one arm, the nappy bag on the other. Oh. Sits down. And you know what? Nowadays, the waiting room is the quietest place you'll ever find.
Yeah.
Because every child is on a piece of technology, but it is like you can hear a pin drop. They're all watching their little, you know, things to keep them
quiet. With their weird rashes and their beads up their nose.
So this, like, yeah, exactly. So this other little boy, he's playing around. And then so is Ollie playing around. And then he's got this blood in his nose. I thought, oh, he's got blood in his nose. That poor thing. I don't wonder what he did. Mine's got blood on his nose too. Anyway, this woman has gone off down the hallway and she's gone, Oliver, like this. And I've stood up, yes, see me. No, Oliver something. I'm like,
oh, not
mine. Her. Gone. I said, look, Dan, you look after him. I'll go and find her because you don't want to miss your place here. You get pushed to the back of the queue,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Bit of a disaster. I've gone looking for her. Can't find her. And she's come back and I've gone, is your son Oliver? She goes, yes. I said, they've just called your name. She goes, oh, I miss my space. I had to change a nappy. I'm by myself. Oh, my God. She goes, have you got an Oliver too? I said, yeah. She goes, how old's yours? I said, two. I said, how old's yours? She said, two. I said, what's wrong with yours? She went, got Lego stuck up his nose. She goes, what's wrong with yours? I said, got a bead stuck up his nose. These two little shits. Yeah. So anyway, the nurse has called me in.
Yeah.
And she said, have you tried a bit of CPR where you hold one side of his nose, blow through his mouth and it goes up and through?
I saw that on a YouTube video.
I tried, didn't work. Did my best. Not at home in front with the nurse. I said, can you just monitor what I'm doing? Because if I make anything worse, I just can't cope.
I know.
Right now.
Well, it's a bit. That'd be quite overwhelming to do that, though.
It was.
Blowing
and
in their mouth.
He's thrashing about, like, get off me. Then this other nurse who has clearly been doing this for 100,000 years and carries this specific instrument in the back of her pocket that you use.
Like for a long tweezery thing.
Thing. It's been invented for kids that shove crap up their nose.
Yes.
She goes, it mainly seems to be the boys and it mainly seems to be the second because they find the things that the older one has.
What
so,
will happen if I put it up my nose.
Yeah, well, someone
it
was
might
more
come out my eyeball. Cool.
Those girls would not find that cool.
No, in fact, someone was more concerned about the bead in specific and where it had gone, and now it's got snot all over it. So that was another issue.
She was worried about her bead.
She was worried about the bead. So not her brother.
She can't
bead.
Finish the necklace. She was
correct.
Right.
Yeah. And then we went in there, and she said, "Oh, look, I've seen this 100,000 times, love. Let's go wrap the burrito off to the underwater room." So we go to the underwater room. Mum, you lay across. Nurse, blah, 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 you hold his head and in we go. Up, scoop and around, bang, bead out. Ollie's
losing
his shit because he didn't want to be burrito wrapped. But anyway,
he's more worried about the burrito, not the intense instrument about to insert itself into his nasal cavity.
It's just something you don't have at home, those pieces of technology that have been invented.
But you wouldn't
want
to stick it up there. You don't know.
No. Nah.
you know, you might push it further and it will pop out as their eye socket. Like, I don't know. But I can't believe there were two Olivers. Oh. Hey, that's a note for you. Don't call your kid Oliver unless you want things to get stuck up its
nose.
It seems to be.
Yes, exactly right. So, yes, the famous shenanigans of the emergency room at the Women's and Children's Hospital.
This episode is
birth.
Shannon? I was trying to come up with a name and like a completely different girl's name came out. Like not even your name. Like Shandog, but it came out Shan-on.
Shannon.
That's not your name.
Okay.
That's not my name.
Okay, Tegan.
S-Dog. Doesn't sound the same, does it? Chanel, have you ever had a push present?
I got my, it sounds weird, my third ring.
My butthole.
Zip butthole.
Yes, tell us more about your butthole.
The eternity ring. It was either.
Did you say eternity ring? I really thought you said that. No. Your eternity ring.
My eternity ring. So you get your, you know, in traditional terms.
Sure.
You get your engagement ring, your wedding ring, and then your eternity ring. And they either say it comes after you've had your first child or first year of marriage. Oh. Dan said, we ain't got enough money at the moment. We're too busy renovating a house. You can wait.
It's quite blingy, actually. I always look. It's always very sparkly.
Is it?
How do you keep it so? Spit polish?
No.
I look very tarnished. No, I think they need to be, is it rendered? What do you call it when they need
to be? Just get some dish soap with a what do you call that? Dish detergent with a toothbrush.
Do you?
Sometimes, yeah.
You get in there.
Well, because cream gets in and then sun creams in. There's just
gross
stuff.
Things.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Push presents. But they're big for people who've had babies. Like it's a thing sometimes. You
it
know.
Is a thing. I think that we deserve more than that. But then they say the baby is the push.
Yeah. Kind of not necessarily.
Did you get a push present?
No. I kind of found it a little bit naff. In some ways, I was like, I probably would prefer the whole lifetime of, but maybe help me out for the next 9 months, you know, 9 months.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. But I mean, it is a lovely gesture.
A job they should be doing anyway. Look, that ring really didn't have much to do with summer. It was more just, look, I've waited long enough. Here's your third ring. Here's a good
love
excuse.
It. You wanted that third ring.
Yeah, do
you? Yeah. Hey, you had an interesting birth story because I've often heard Chanel's lovely birth story whenever we've discussed our crazy, I suppose, when we've produced things in our lives and like just like this podcast, but we've always seemed to do things all at the same time. Mm. All the stressful things happen at once.
Oh, always.
And in this case, you were about to give birth and you were also producing a TV show. Like it was a little bit out of control.
It was a little bit out of control, but something I absolutely created myself. And then once I'd created it, went, shit, I'm in the middle of it. I can't go back.
This timing's not so great.
You got to have this moment where you think, yeah, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And then you get, no, I can't.
Oh, my gosh. Was that with your firstborn?
No, this is what made it even worse. So I had a two-year-old, the TV show, and I was giving birth to Ollie. And he was a 37-minute labour.
Oh, my God. So, Liz, let's talk about that first because that is out of control. How does that happen?
I admire women that can have these hypnobirths or be extremely controlled. Not me. I don't know how. But there was one girl I used to work with that said she didn't make a sound her entire birth.
And I thought, was she muzzled or did she have a gag something on or like one of those balls, bondage ball things where you physically cannot?
I don't know how it was possible because with Summer, I didn't think I screamed my head off. I thought I made lots of noises.
Well, they say those who have had shorter births, like that you in this case 37 minutes or a couple of hours, it hurts more because it's coming too quick. Your body's not really gearing itself up. It hasn't had time to psych itself up.
No, it doesn't. And that was the worst bit. So the most terrifying thought for me was I didn't have a chance to think at all because he was coming thick and it kind of was like, oh, a contraction. And then it was like full blown. I thought, my life was being flushed in front of my eyes.
Oh,
the pain
God.
Was next level. And then the obstetrician comes in all calm. Little bit quicker than what we thought, sweetheart, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, and here it is. Would you like a coffee with that? What about a biscuit? Because seriously.
Well, the most terrifying thought for me was, and there's no way I can laugh about it now, but I can kind of like breathe a sigh of relief because he's absolutely fine. But he came out not breathing. So I've already had Summer, my two-year-old, my daughter, didn't care at all what I was having, just wanted a baby. And they said, I'll grab your baby, pulled him up onto my chest, and I thought, oh, I don't even care what you are. You're just here. You just, oh, thank God. After all the stuff with the TV show and whatever, I'm thinking, you're finally here.
Yeah.
Pulled him off my chest, had a look, big set of balls there. And I thought, oh.
They're massive when they're born, aren't they? They're really big. Oh, they're so red.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I just kind of went, oh,
baboon. Like, what is this? And then Dad's standing there, oh, it's my son. He's always so proud, not realizing they're actually swollen. Yeah. Kind of that. He was like, oh, well, look at those babies.
Yeah. At that point, I'm like, I don't even care.
No.
So they went, oh, just take him, Chanel, for a moment. Went over the thing, and this nurse came in running, hit the emergency button. I'm going, oh my God. I felt like I was in the movies, you know, that
yeah. Those, hang on, what's happening? What's happening?
Yeah. It was all a bit rushed. And then the obstetrician got to put his arm up, went, still the same tone of voice. It's okay. He's fine. Little bit quick for him. Little bit quick. It's okay.
You
I'm
think?
Like, it's not okay. Is it my son breathe?
Is this the same person that was at the emergency with the one finger typing? It's fine. Or is this all hospital staff talk like this? I love it.
It was absolutely dreadful. Anyway, put it this way, he kept the calm because I think the two midwives were starting to panic a little bit, and he was like, it's okay, it's fine. I'm like, if you don't change the decibels in your voice or add a bit of
maybe a little bit of panic.
Something,
tiny little bit.
Yeah, Charles not breathing. Let's get a freaking wriggle on.
Yeah.
Anyway, gave him that vitamin K shot.
Yep.
He'd seen the light. He was alive. Thank God. He was happy. He was wah! I was like, good boy. Bring back to mum.
Oh, so
and they literally grabbed
lovely.
My boob and shoved it in his mouth, and I didn't even get a second to blink. I was like, hey.
I know.
And the first thing I was thinking was my vagina. Is it okay?
Is that what you are?
Oh, no. You're not asking the obstetrician that.
Oh,
couple of small sutures, but we're okay. You're
and
okay.
Look,
you
your
did
bottom
well,
half of
love.
Your body's just come away from the top, but it's fine. Look, and you're like, I can't feel a freaking thing, lady. Oh, my God. But Dan, did Dan watch the whole the baby be born?
Well, with Summer, he actually delivered her.
No.
So the obstetrician that I had had been doing it for 100,000 years and then just decided to retire after I'd had Summer. And he didn't even put scrubs on. I think he put gloves and that was about it. And he said, you're going to do this. And I said to Dan, if you want to go down that end, I suggest you don't because you probably won't look at me the same way again. But if you do, well,
just saying.
Your own funeral, love.
Yep.
So that was that. So he was down
well
the business
him.
End. So he did. So he delivered her, which was beautiful. Ollie was just way too quick. He was like,
there's
a
no time to catch that football.
Out of, yeah, see ya. My body was like, get out now.
Expel the beast. The demon. It does feel like. Because I had cesarean, so I don't even know. So it's still interesting to me.
Yeah.
When someone tells me their birth story, I was like, oh my God, I'm horrified. Like my sister who recently had a baby in a COVID baby in Melbourne.
Oh,
but she said, oh my God. She goes, that was the most horrific thing I've ever done. Like
oh,
she
was
like, oh my
is.
God, no time again for epidurals. I'm like listening going, oh my God, this is terrible. Because cesareans, you go in, you know, you're lying there.
Yeah.
And it's funny because my anaesthetist was quite handsome and sexy. Now, that's not what you want to have when you look the worst you have ever looked in your whole life. Like you're wearing the scrub hat, the scrub dress gown thing. Then you've got my giant SpongeBob SquarePants bum. Like you know what you look like from behind? Well, maybe not you, but behind I was not like, oh, from behind she doesn't look pregnant. And then you turn around, oh my God, she's pregnant. She's nothing but a bump. I was like most other women, like from behind, oh my God, like SpongeBob SquarePants, just
that
a square
hilarious.
Thing with legs coming out of it. So that was hanging out. You don't get to wear makeup or anything. And there I am, this round bloated.
And you can't do
fluid-y.
Your toenails, can you, or
oh, no,
anything?
No.
So you got yellow toenails.
Everything's disgusting. Like if this is you at your brutally, just everything's just honest and on the table, literally on the table. And you're like, oh, great. Hi, sexy man. And he's putting a giant freaking needle in your back. And then the drugs kick in. And then it's like, whoa. And then you're in this crazy dreamlike thing, lying there with your arms out at the side, you know.
Trying to touch him. You can't. Like looking, ignore your husband, try and touch the hot doctor.
Oh, my God. And they're talking and they're playing music and they're la, la, la. And I said, okay, so tell me when you start. And the obstetrician goes, oh, we've already started. We're 5 minutes in. I was like, you know, but the drugs kind of just dull your senses so much that you kind of don't really think that you don't have time to panic.
When it's happening so quick, you almost have an out-of-body experience. You can still hear what the nurse and that are saying around you. And some of them obviously think you can't hear them.
Yeah.
So I had the nurse patting me on the knee going, "Sweetheart, it's okay, it's okay." I said, "I want the drugs, please, I want them now," like all this sort of stuff. And she's going, "Just a minute, we'll just see, I'll just go and try and make that call." And then Dan, who's right in my ear hole, who I was about to shove to the other side of the room, so I was like, "Stop whispering in my ear, I can't cope with that."
He's a punch him.
I was like, "Get out of my ear." He's like, "Oh, sorry, sweetheart," blowing in my hair. Anyway, and then the window's closed, hasn't it, to the nurse. And she went, "Yeah, just don't tell her that." I'm like, "I fucking hear you.
I'm in the fucking
lady." Just like they just shut that glimmer of hope away.
Oh, my God. Did you get any gas though?
A little bit of gas, but I just got so annoyed with it in the end because it made me feel
sick.
Yeah, and really lightheaded. I was like, "Bleh." So when I needed it, it was just not there.
Yeah.
I kind of thought, oh, like the movies, suck on this stuff and make woo, but no, you're nah. It's a bit annoying.
A lot of people say that with the gas thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
There's so many stories of women just – I literally am gobsmacked because they've each got their unique story of how things happen. And I swear these brilliant midwives have curveballs thrown at them left, right and centre.
They sure do.
So one of Summer's kindy mums, she went up to the counter and said, "Look, my baby's coming." And the nurse said, "Oh, probably a bit soon, dear. You sound like you're okay. Probably a little while off." Next thing you know, she's down on the floor, like on all fours.
Like an animal.
Yeah, the baby out on the floor.
Oh, the baby's out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. On the floor.
Yeah. So she was telling the midwife, she was like, "It's coming." And she's like, no, love, just wait here for a little bit. You know, they take a while to get the wheelchair and all this sort of stuff. So it was probably all of about, I don't know, 15 minutes, this whole process.
Wow.
But she's like, "I'm trying to tell you this baby is coming." And the midwife's like, no, it's probably not. Because she's so quietly spoken and so soft in everything she does, the midwife's probably thinking, "You've got no idea, love. You're not." And she's like, "I do. The baby's coming."
Did the baby get caught in the knickers? Oh, you probably don't know the retina. No, you wouldn't know. I know that sounds like a stupid question, but if you've got your knickers on, then the baby literally comes out. It's going to be caught by your gusset of your giant maternity knickers.
Yeah, maybe. The gusset.
The gusset. A word. Soft little gusset for the newborn baby. You landed in a skid mark, kid. I'm going to call you Skiddy, and that's it. I'm serious though. I want to know more. Could you go back and ask? And she was wearing a Matt G.
What
maternity
were you,
G-string.
Yeah, or did you just have nothing on because you couldn't stand anything near that? I don't know.
Okay, not part of the story.
But there's
clearly.
So many stories of things. Women that have gone to these hypnobirthing classes and they've got into the room and it's all gone out the window because it's too quick or whatever.
Some all these different techniques.
Oh,
it's a great thing, I think, to read up on.
I think it's brilliant.
Have a look at all the things. Something might work for you. Try them out. They might not work. They might work.
Your body just does it.
It does.
You can't do anything. And it's like, how will you know when to push? You know when you're going to push. A big giant poo comes. Well, you're feeling that.
Did you do a poo?
I didn't. And I was absolutely terrified.
Everyone says that's the most terrified thing they're worried about is the poo.
I asked Dan, I'm like, "Did I poo?" He's like, I don't know. I'm like, "Recall everything. What happened? Did I scream a lot? Was I shout? What was I doing, Dan? Tell me all these things." He's like, "I don't know." I'm like, "Well, fat lot of good you did."
Because it was traumatic. He was in shock.
Someone said to me, "Would you ever get it filmed?" And I went, no, it's silly. And afterwards, now that I've done it
maybe
twice.
Maybe you would have.
Well, maybe I would have liked to have seen what I was like.
And what kind of poo you might have done. Who knows?
What kind of poo?
My friend was in the bathtub thing at the hospital and her husband was in there with a scooper and his dicky bathers on, scooping out her poop. And he actually said at one point, "Hi, hun, did you have broccoli last night?" It's what's interesting is your partner, if he's very involved in the experience, it can be something that brings you a lot closer together.
Yeah.
But obviously, because they're seeing you at your rawest. It's like animalistic you'll ever be.
Dan was a brilliant support, but I think sometimes it can be a little bit clinical because you're not doing a home birth or those type of things. You can't get in the bathtub really at where I had my children anyway.
Sure, yep.
You're on your back because that's the way they suggest you do it.
Yes.
You're not.
Did you feel you wanted to go in a different position?
It was happening so fast.
Oh, you didn't have time.
I got the ten Dan comes in with the bag and the tens machine and the ball, and it was like both Summer was an hour and a half and Ollie was 37 minutes. It was like they were out. They,
oh my God, you literally had a baby in the same time you could watch like an episode of Seinfeld. Like,
yeah, that is, they were evicted like that.
Oh wow.
And talking about it now is definitely fine to do, but it was terrifying. And there's so many women that have had these scary stories. A friend of mine gave birth on her car seat. Her Subaru has never looked the same.
Oh, that Lycor.
That was a husband. Another one gave birth at home just too quick.
In the car, on the carpet. I know someone who's done that. That's just dropped out of her, you know. So
wow.
Make sure in the baby room that they were just doing up with the carpet. They had to replace all the carpet. Another one, a neighbour of ours, in the shower. She caught it.
Yes, yeah, see?
She caught it. It just came out of
her. That's unreal.
My mum's a midwife. So before I had a baby, she told me, she was great because she could answer a lot of questions.
Brilliant.
At will, right?
Brilliant.
Because I am her daughter, so it's a bit different. It's not like just anyone, right? So she's a little bit more, you know, anxious about it. And she said, Tamara, I was thinking about it. If you feel that anything's like starting to come out of you, like the baby at any time, like, you know, like a foot or something, just get Kai. So you need to get in this position and you need to get Kai to hold it in and you need to call the ambulance. I was like, oh my God, like my face went white. I was like, are you freaking kidding me, Mum? Do not be telling me these stories. Like,
wow.
But now you know, yep. Jesus, a foot's going to come out.
Thank you, Mum.
Thanks, Mum. What's weird about the fact that we're these walking as women, we're like babushka dolls. Like there's a person within a person. That's freaky.
It is freaky.
How tripped out is that, lady?
Yeah, it is.
Like we're like cells multiplying when we are, but like, oh.
It's such a beautiful experience, but it also shows so – it's just so raw.
Oh.
I watch it on TV now. If I see a woman giving birth, I will talk to the TV and go, you go, girl.
I'm petrified. I'm like, oh, I'm like a man watching it.
Well, one of my favourite shows is Call the Midwife and I love
Do
it.
Love it?
I love to
– Yeah, oh my God, lady.
Ooh, yeah, great.
Because it makes you feel better because other people
well, I just see her and I go, you go, girl. I feel proud of what we've done. That's what I mean as mothers, whether it is a super quick labour, whether it is a natural labour but with some pain relief, whether it is a cesarean, whether you've given birth to that baby standing on your damn head and ripped it out yourself, you've done a great fucking job.
Well done, ladies. Then after, I was going to say, afterwards, they let you take this human being home. Why?
Oh, I tell you what, I was very grateful a friend of mine told Dan, look, day 3 or 4, don't worry about her. She'll just cry, okay?
Yeah.
Don't worry about your wife. She's okay. She's not going to lose the plot. She's just going to cry her head off for probably a whole couple of days. It's fine.
Baby blues.
I was like, I won't do that. Did I? Heck, I'm in my bed going,
oh, my God. It does happen and it happens at any given moment. Also, what also happens, particularly with cesareans, is you get home and you look fatter than you did before you gave birth because of the fluid. Like your whole body is swollen, right? You still look massively pregnoid. Like, so you're like, I have a newborn, but I also am so puffy. Like I was crying about my puffiness. I was so puffy. Like everyone's fluid. It's like, look at my giant, like giant balloon head. It's like my big balloon
and then your
face.
Boobies, the milk comes in. How's about that? So the first time around, I'm like, oh, I think my milk's coming in. The midwife's like, not yet, love, not yet. When I got home, day 4, wow, these big, because I'm like, okay, it's in now because they're triple the size and they're veiny and they're like, ooh, I feel like I've got peas everywhere in there.
I secretly love the veins. It looks so clear and natural. And
oh, they just, mine were, when the milk came in, it was like I was about to bust at the seams. And like you wake up in the morning and the baby slept a little bit longer and your boob is the size.
It's a painful
breakthrough. Pain.
I know, it's insane. It's a very strange, strange thing. How long did you breastfeed for?
Summer was a year and Ollie was a year and a half, but I gave them after about a year, I gave Summer formula at night and then same with Ollie because I was trying to wind down a little bit. That's another big thing, breastfeeding. Look, I enjoyed it. With Summer, I had many a tears because I had blisters, I had thrush, I had my boobs had never been in worse condition. As soon as I got over that kind of hump, I was okay. Like I sort of went, oh, well, this is okay now.
Yeah.
Once I pushed through that hideous stage, I never got mastitis, but Jesus Christ, those like ulcers on your nipples were terrible. But I just didn't latch her properly because I didn't know. I was learning. So with Ollie, I was like, yeah, no, I've got to latch him properly purely for the sake of my poor nipple.
And her little scabby things too. And it was just sore. And then you got to keep breastfeeding past it.
I remember breastfeeding with like, it was almost like knives and crying. And Dan's like, stop, don't do it. And I'm like, I felt like I just wanted to. Glad I didn't push through. But for some women, breastfeeding either just doesn't happen. I've had some friends that their milk just never came in.
That's right.
Yeah. And all those things. It is not the be all and the end all. A fed baby is the best.
Oh my gosh.
That's what it is.
Where baby's putting on some weight, you know, that's good.
You know, that's the main thing is a fed baby. Because if it's not being fed, it's malnourished, it's screaming, it's you feel awful, they feel awful. So yeah, it did work for me, but yeah, there's plenty of people I know it didn't work for. Mm. And also some mothers that say, I actually don't like the idea of breastfeeding. Yeah, well, and that's more than fine as
that's
well.
That's fine. Well, I stopped at 9 months because it just kind of stopped. Then it was slowly just weaned off.
Yeah.
And my boobs looked like wind socks at the end of it. They were just a skin sack. And I was like,
it's like a
wow.
sock with a golf ball at the end.
Yeah, it's like these little floppy.
I want to know when that comes back. When does
it took a year though, Chanel. Did come back. Yours came back. Not exactly the same. No. I have to say they do come back a little bit. They do. Feeding. It was a year it took for me.
Okay. I read online, it said 5 years.
5 years. Okay. Again, different for everyone.
I like your scenario.
Yes.
12 months is much better.
Yeah. Well, at least somewhat they come back. You know, they're not coming back. I mean, I can still hold a shampoo bottle under my boobs, which says they're not the same as they were when I was 20. You know, there's can't pop back in. Yeah, Something happened. Yeah. You know, they remembered who they were.
Hello, darling. Remember I said before I speak to them, so I want them to know they've done a good job.
Talking to your boobs. Yeah, that was gross.
My breasticles.
Your breasticles. Oh, my God. It is quite a journey. And then you don't really have time to think about the whole birth thing because you're on it. You're looking after a baby. There's no time to stop and go, oh, how was that? And blah, 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 blah. Like it's like a race.
No.
And you'll never finish the race till they're 21.
You're walking around with a surfboard between your legs for a while as well afterwards. Those maternity pads are huge.
They're so big. And they, oh my God. when I first got my period, she would work night shifts, right? When I was 14, let's say, whatever, I got my period for the first time at home and she was sleeping during the day and I got my period. I was like, Mom. I'm like, Mom, I woke her up. I'm like, oh, I got my period. And she was so tired. She wasn't really, you know, she was like slightly delirious. She goes, oh, the pads are in the drawer there. Like, didn't even think. I'm like, okay. So then I go get this giant pad, like a surfboard pad, and put it on. And Mum wakes up after a few hours. Hi, darling, how are you going? I'm like, she goes, why are you walking like that? Like, I'm like, with this look of excruciation, like emotion on my face. She goes, what's wrong? I go, I got my period and you made me put on the surfboard pad. And she's like, you got your period. What? I said, I woke you up and you said put on the pad. And she's like, oh, my God, tomorrow. She felt so bad. She goes, I don't remember any of it. And then
virtually wore a nappy, didn't you?
Literally pretty much put a, you know.
A nappy.
So, I mean, and then they come back again for a second show when you have your baby, you know. I'm like, oh, hello, old surfboard friend. I remember you.
We had fond memories.
But now I love you. I love you and I thank God you're there.
Yeah.
Giant surfboards. Oh, my God. They're massive, aren't they? Do not be shocked when you see these babies. You could
and
use them
your poor vagina for a while afterwards.
Oh,
it's
my
so
God.
Sore.
What does it look like? It looks like an exploded taco or something. It's just this bulbous thing that you go – it needs to, like, you want to soak it in ice or something, don't you reckon? Like, just give it a little fanny ice bath. Yeah. Like, oh. Or dip it in some avocado or something cold, you know? What do you reckon? Jelly. Oh my God, that'd be so soothing.
I had lavender baths.
Was that good?
Well, the midwife told me it helps to heal.
Oh, yeah. That's probably the smarter way to go.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I didn't smear avocado or hummus on.
I don't know why I said avocado, but I like quite like guacamole. So imagine that would be, as long as you don't put chili in it, that would be a fail. Do not put chili in your guac. Then dip your fanny in it. Yeah. I tell you what, natural yogurt would be nice.
It would. They say that's good for thrush.
They do, don't they?
Yogurt.
But then don't some women I've heard have gone, yeah, I put some yogurt on it. And then they've just taken whatever's in the fridge, like the strawberry yogurt or the passion fruit straw. But don't use, I'm just saying, natural. Do not choose the friggin' like.
What about Greek?
The vanilla. Yeah. Greek would be okay, would it not? But, like, far out. Who's going to put, like, what's the flavour today? Yogurt.
Blueberry.
Blueberry and strawberry yogurt. With real blueberries. Then they'd be in the emergency department. Put a blueberry stuck up my fanny. Or sit next to Oliver. He's got to pee up his nose. So you guys will be fine. Anyway. Birth is fun times.
Oh, it's freaking great. It is and good. I salute every woman that goes through that and does it. It's incredible because each story is unique in itself. It's brilliant. So,
it is lovely.
Yeah. Wonder what your hot anaesthetist is doing now.
Oh, I love him.
What's his name?
Oh, can I tell? Okay, his name. Well, what is his name? That doesn't matter because he might know if someone finds out.
If he's got a hot name.
Well, the problem is,
he turned around and said to me, his name's Brian, I would have gone, no.
Well, he's had a first name as a last name and a last name as a first name. So we could never work it out. His name was Fabian Parry or Parry Fabian. So we don't know to this day what his actual name is.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's Fabian.
Fabian Parry. That sounds better. But at the time.
Did you Google him?
I've been wondering for all these years. He was a little bit sexy and lovely.
Lovely,
so
lovely.
If you've ever had him.
Lovely Fabian.
You know, write in. Let me know what you think. Actually, I'm a bit embarrassed. I feel like I want to go and see. I mean, he is married with kids and that's beside the point. But I feel like looking exceptionally glamorous one day, just hanging out around the hospital, hoping to get a glimpse of him, bump into him. Oh, hello,
not
Fabian Parry.
Anymore.
Oh, hello. Look at that. Oh, nice to see you gave birth. You don't recognise me? Oh, look at me now. Look at me now. Do you remember me? You were intravenously putting drugs in my arm.
You are that and more.
Oh, my
brilliant.
God. Anyway, lady. Yes. Salute to all the women out there.
Salute.
Who've given birth, about to give birth. Ladies, we salute you.
Motherhood, A Beautiful Nightmare is produced by Soundbowl Productions and hosted by Chanel Franklin and Tamara Linke. We would love to hear from you, so please email us on motherhoodabeautifulnightmare@gmail.com or just for kicks, check out our website at motherhoodabeautifulnightmare.com.
Also, if you enjoyed this episode of Motherhood, A Beautiful Nightmare and can find 2 minutes in between managing those little nutters, we'd be so grateful if you could rate, review and subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. Hey, word on the street is it helps people find us.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.